after I'd given up my dogs, and the ice had just about all gone out of the lake, and lots of room around by now, and I just decided I'd go around the lake in my boat, a thing that I should have done in the first place. If I'd have built a boat and got that stuff down, it'd been all right, but I was too smart for that. But anyhow, I just decided I'd pull around the lake. The gold, you know, is just over that glacier. After you got over the glacier, you could pick up gold nuggets as big as your fist, all you wanted, a gunny sack full of them. Well, I got to thinking about that now, by gee, and maybe I could just go around that lake, and I don't know why I went around the lake. I could have went any other way, but that is right up against the Alaska Range, and boy, there was a pretty range, too. Just as far as you could see, both ways was high snow peaks, that was all. Beautiful peaks. There's no place they have mountains and beautiful scenery like they do there. It just doesn't grow, that's all. Well, anyhow, I took it out. Of course, I took my rifle. I thought, well, I'll just take my rifle along. Maybe I'd get me a rabbit or something. I had a gold pan and shovel. So I took my shovel and my gold pan and my rifle and started around that lake. Well, a canvas boat is a dandy to row. It just floats like nothing, you know. So that around the lake, I imagine, was 20 miles to where I went. And decided this was the place. And so I got out and pulled my boat up and took my rifle and started up a stream towards the mountains. I got, maybe a half a mile from my boat and walking up a stream, looking down, see if I couldn't pick up some gold someplace. And I heard a little rattling to one side and looked over, and there was three goats. Well, just for a minute, I thought of those goats on the trail. Lord, his goats had got away or something. But, of course, I was wrong and realized it after about a second and a half. And there were three goats climbing that mountain. It was steep, too, out of the ravine, and I was right close to them. I wasn't over 75 yards. And thinks I, gee, this is something. So I just got the three of them right now, you know, and they rolled back down the hill, and I gutted them and made a sling of them and packed them back to my boat and took them over to camp. I cut the heads off. Well, when I got over to camp with them the next day, I stayed there all night, and because it's too late to go back. Yet we had lots of daylight, but I'd had a good long row. And I got back next day, and boy, them fellas was just nuts for fresh meat. I was too, far as that's concerned. But when I first got over, I just hung them things up and went to skinning them, you know. And boy, they come from all directions. They wanted to buy meat. They wanted to trade for meat. They just wanted to do anything for meat. Well, I traded the meat for 50 cents a pound or pound for pound for grub. And I got a lot of grub. I must have had 125, 30 pound of meat. And so I thought, well, gee, this is just a good scheme. So I tried it all over again. I went over again in 2 or 3 days and run into a moose, a small moose. I don't think it'd weigh over 400 or 500 pounds. I downed that and cut it up and brought it back. Well, boy, I just went to town on that. And I was Daniel Boone from the word go. And getting a good outfit, thinks I, now this is something. And so I went back after more meat the next few days and got me 2 more sheep. Well, by this time, my grub had begun to grow and it began to look like I really had an outfit. But I figured I'd just better go get another goat or two. And so I made another trip and got 2 more goats, traded them off. And, of course, meantime, I was filling myself up on meat, I'll tell you that. Well, I had that canvas boat and about 400, 500 pound of grub, a good steak. I figured it'd last me 6 or 8 months and by getting plenty of meat. And there was a fellow there whipsawing lumber and making boats to go down the river. And he sold them for $100. Well, I looked at that old canvas boat and I looked at his boats, and I just figured out that my outfit and my boat wouldn't weigh any more than his boat. And going alone down that river, they told me it was an awful fast river. Of course, I didn't know. I didn't care much. But I wasn't thinking about that at all. I wanted to get over to them beautiful mountains I'd seen. I wanted to get into that country that I wanted for mine. It was just I just didn't want to leave, and of course, when I lost my outfit, I sure was going to have to, and I was awful sick. But now I had my outfit again, and boy, I was raring to go. And so I decided I'd go down the river in my canvas boat, and I figured I'd get by that easier than anything else. So I loaded up, and I started. Well, I'll tell you now, that river was a fast one. I was about 45 miles, I figured, or 50, maybe 50 from Valdez. Well, it was supposed to be 90 to Copper Center. So I only had 35 or 40 miles. But down that river, I'll tell you, I dodged rocks. I come within inches 100 times, I think. That is just about a wilder river as you want a boat with that much outfit, I'll tell you that. But I was so excited and decided missing rocks and really enjoying the trip and in an exciting way. And finally the river commenced to smooth out a little bit, and I decided that I was just tired enough and pulled ashore. No snow, it was just plumb. Snow was all gone, but that time it is around early in May. And here I'd left 20 feet of snow on the Valdez side, and here it was all bare. Well, I pulled my boat up and started to make camp, and here was robins a chirping and a crocus. Gee, they have more pretty crocus there. They're all 2 inches across, and they will be 20 sometimes in one bunch. They are beautiful things. And that spruce trees, I've never seen anything like it. Tall, white things. Gee, it's beautiful timber. Well, I was just in the seventh heaven. That's all there was to it. I was just, I made camp, and I stayed all night, and I said, well, this is really just something, and I figured I had about 10 or 12 miles yet to go. And so next morning, I got up and leisurely loaded my boat and got my outfit in it and pulled out from the bank. The river was quite fast, but not rapids at all, like I'd been coming over. And I hadn't gone in a quarter of a mile, fairly close to the bank. Of course, we learned better than them things. After a while, we learned to get in the middle of the river. But here was a sweeper, one of them long spruce, had washed out at the roots and laying right across the river, pretty near halfway. Well, I just didn't have a chance on earth. I just bound to hit it, and I knew I was going to hit it. I couldn't do nothing about it. I like to pull my head off trying to stop the bull, but I couldn't. Well, I hit the sweeper upside down and me in the water. Well, I hung on to the sweeper and waded ashore. It wasn't deep. I was pretty close to the bank and didn't hit me more in the waist. I waded ashore, looked at that old boat going upside down, down the river. Well, here I was absolutely without a thing on earth but my two big fists. Well, the country had got out of the mountains, and the country was seemed to be quite flat below, but it was high clay banks, clay banks of probably 100 feet on either side, ravines, of course, coming into it. And I sat there and mourned my loss for a while, and I said, well, guess this won't work. But I just decided to climb up that bank and take a look to see, just another look at the country before I went back. And I got up on top of the bank, and across the river and below me, about 2 miles, I could see Copper Center. There was a cabin there. There's quite a bit of activity. And, boy, here I was within 2 miles of Copper Center. Well, I just decided I'd go down, so I did. I was on the wrong side of the river, of course. I got down there, and the fella come over and got me in his boat. Everybody was accommodating in those days. Everybody ready to do something about you. I told this fellow my troubles. Well, he said hundreds of them have done that. He said there's been an awful lot of outfit wrecks in that river. He said, you ain't the only one. Well, there I was just with my two big fists. No bed, no nothing. And this night's just a little chilly. And I run into an Indian, and he had a rabbit skin robe. Now, they made a rabbit skin robe there. They didn't tan their hides, only very little. I think they washed them with just about all they done in soap or something. I don't know how they tan them. But they was clean. Then they'd string them on a thong, and then they would just weed them. And boy, they made a honey of a bed, and you could take hold of one corner of it and scratch it. It is about 7 feet long and about 8 feet wide. And he offered me that for $5, and boy, I took it, I'll tell you that. Because that just looked awful good to me, and it didn't weigh over about 3 or 4 pounds. Just what I needed. Well, anyhow, I loafed around there for all that day, and a fellow lent me a fish hook, and I went out in the river and caught me all the fish I wanted. Grayling was running lots of them. I caught all the grayling I wanted. Feed on grayling that night. Next morning, the fellow invited me to breakfast, and I had some hot cakes, and decided I'd just have to go back to Aldi. This was the end of it. Nobody seemed to have any work to do or anything. It had just, well, all the snow was gone. Everything was kind of stalled. Some of them pulling up the river, the copper with boats, but nothing for me to do. So I figured the only thing I could do was go back to Valdez. So this fella gave me the fish hook and some salt, and I started back a foot up that river. Well, I'd catch me a bunch of fish and cook them and eat them, and I hit the river in one place, and I found a sack of beans. They were swelled up as big as 3 beans. Somebody had wrecked, and this was a little sack of beans. I think there was, maybe 3 or 4 pound in them, swelling and all, and the way they had soaked. And I was getting a little bit tired of fish, so I had a can with me, and I boiled some of them beans, and they was pretty darn good. Well, I hit the camp at the head of the river, and nothing to do there, and I figured I'd just have to go on. So I went back up to the foot of the glacier one evening. Had a little bit of my beans and had some fish along with me, and curled up in my rabbit robe and went to sleep. Next morning I woke up comfortable all night. And next morning I woke up and I had just a good handful of beans left. And they was about half cooked. And so I eat them and get my little rabbit robe on my back, and I started over the glacier. I was pretty near to the top, far as I could get and still be in any kind of brush at all where I could make a comfortable fire. And I started over the glacier. Well, I got over and down on the other side a couple of miles, and I see a string of men ahead of me. Oh, they must have been 20. And they was going awfully slow, and I couldn't quite imagine. Of course, there was men going and coming all the time. But I caught up with them in a little while and started to pass them 1, 2, 3 at a time, you know, and I rolled pretty slow, and I was traveling a pretty good clip. I figured I knew the glacier. I didn't need to worry about anything. So pretty soon I got to the head of the bunch, and here was my whiskered friend that had pulled me out of the glacier. Give me that cussing. Of course, he knew me. Why, he said, hello, he said, how are you, and what are you doing back? Wondering all about it. Well, I told him my troubles, and he said, why don't you come on?